Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto, where today we got a jam-packed excitement episode hopefully coming up here, talking about the crazy weekend that was in Nashville, a place and stadium that has caused quite a bit of problems the last 2 years going there, with some season-ending injuries last year, maybe even season-ending injury again this year, but we'll get a little bit more word on that probably later in the week involving Ken Roczen. But we had a couple things that happened during the week leading up to the race that we're going to get to first. One of them being that Triumph Racing is no longer employing Evan Ferry. They mutually decided to part ways with an immediate effect. This was back on Saturday. They came out and posted this before the racing started. Came out, said that they are no longer together, mutually parting ways. Triumph said that they're going to be wishing Evan Ferry the best in his future endeavors. So we'll see where he ends up after leaving Triumph and just having one race there in Detroit. And then he had the season-ending injury in Detroit and obviously has not been back yet. Another one, that crash that Plessinger had in qualifying last weekend in Foxborough, it was, that qualifying crash has put him out for the rest of the Supercross season, but he said he'll be back and ready to go for the Pro Motocross this summer. And also with Plessinger, came out this past week that he has signed with KTM for the 2025 Super Motocross season. So he's sticking on the orange bike. The Cowboy is still going to be on orange. So really good to see. He did have a pretty successful season going on. Obviously getting his first career Supercross win. Holding the red plate for the first time in the 450s. Obviously, he is a past 250 champion in Supercross. I can't remember off the top of my head if he is a 250 outdoor champion. I believe he is. I believe he was in, was it 2018, when then went to Motocross of Nations here in Red Bud, Michigan. So, KTM locks up the Cowboy for another season. So, now, that is everything that happened before the racing started on Saturday. Racing and qualifying started on Saturday. So we'll jump right on in here to the 250 qualifying, where we had Cameron McAdoo. He had a little get-together with another rider going into a corner where McAdoo said he was on a slower lap. The other rider was on a fast lap, and that caused a little hurt shoulder for Cameron McAdoo in qualifying that seemed to be bugging him the rest of his night, which was a little bit shorter night than obviously he was hoping after getting into it with his teammate Levi Kitchen in the main event, which obviously we will get to that when we get to the main event. But McAdoo was able to still qualify ninth in combined qualifying with the 250 East and 250 West. So, yeah. Forgot to mention, this was a shootout, showdown race, or whatever you want to call it, for the 250s. So, jam-packed gate for both heat races, just like it was being a main event for just a regular regional Supercross race. So, we had RJ Hampshire in the combined qualifying with both classes qualifying together. RJ Hampshire qualified first with a 50.193. And then coming in second was Tom Vial with a 50.928. And then your points leader on the West Coast, Levi Kitchen, was fourth place with a 51.036. And then your points leader going into the night on the East Coast here was Cameron McAdoo in ninth place with a 52.072. So, really surprising to see another championship contender. Hayden Deegan down in 11th in qualifying with a 52.311. That just goes to show he can qualify high up in the East, but when you put them together, obviously there's a lot more competition, kind of like how the 450 class is being run with all that competition. Everyone obviously at every race for the 450s, and then the 250s you have your regional championships. So very important, especially with the way the start was laid out with the two separate sides of that little single that then kind of turned into a double later in the night. And the split gate, obviously qualifying was very, very important. So now we will jump over to the 450 qualifying, where once again, Cooper Webb qualified first last week, but Jett Lawrence found himself in that very familiar spot on top of the qualifying with a 49.879, the only one in the 49-second range. And then you had Justin Cooper with a 50.403, and then tied at the top with Jett Lawrence, you had Cooper Webb in third, or tied at the top with Jett Lawrence for the championship standings, I should say. Forgot about that part there. Cooper Webb with a 50.480, just barely getting edged out by his teammate, Justin Cooper. And then coming into the night, the only other guy I think who really had a chance at this championship was Chase Sexton, qualifying fourth with a 50.685. And then mentioned it last week, this is going to become a Adam Cianciarulo tracking podcast. Adam qualifying 12th with a 51.802. So obviously, once again, Jet's fast, we all know that, and he finds himself right on top of the pole there with a 49, only one in the 49-second range in the 450 class. So now we can get to some we had some excitement here early in the 250 West heat. So we will jump right on into that. The 250 West, they were the first heat race of the night. Levi Kitchen got a good start, but Ryder D goes out and grabs the hole shot. And sad news for Garrett Marchbanks right off the start. He gets into it with another rider, goes down in that first rhythm section right after the first corner there. Holy smokes. And take a look at this here. Yeah, he clips the back of who was that? Take a look. Jordan Smith, I believe it was. Clips into the back of Jordan Smith. Goes down hard right into the face of another jump and is just down for the count. He was down for a bit, and then they had to they gave a red flag there with 2:58 left in the heat race, which then caused them to go to a staggered start with Ryder D still leading the pack for the staggered start. And he had, who is that right behind him for the staggered start? Phil Nicoletti was right there, who also has now come out and said that this is going to be his last year racing. He's doing outdoors too. So he had So it went Ryder D, Nicoletti, Jordan Smith, Joe Shimoda, and then R.J. Hampshire, who R.J. Hampshire then made a couple very quick passes past Smith, Shimoda, and Nicoletti and Ryder D. So R.J. was able to go inside in the sand, kind of shorten the track up a little bit. That's where he got Joe Shimoda. And then in the whoop section, he jumped through the whoops and then was able to get past Ryder D there and go on and win the race with Jordan Smith coming in second. Ryder D, who was your leader for most of this race, finished third, and then Nicoletti in fourth with your points leader Levi Kitchen in sixth place, who he did not get off to, well, he had the good start. He then was forced to kind of go off the track a little bit to avoid crashing into a rider who was already down. So that kind of set him back for a little bit and kind of foreshadowing for the rest of Levi Kitchen's night, where he struggled a little bit for the rest of the night. So now getting into the East Heat, 250 East, you had Tom Viel, who got got a little distracted there. Tom Viel got a good start, but Cody Shock was able to grab the whole shot. But old Viel was able to get himself into the lead pretty quickly going into the sand section. And then his first lap, Hayden Deegan was third place there, finds himself on the ground in the sand. Front end looked like it just got a little bit heavy, buried into the sand. He goes down. So, he was in third place, buries it on the inside in the sand, able to keep the bike running, gets up, and was probably 20th there. So then he had a fight to try and come back from around 20th, where he ended up finishing 8th place, where there was obviously, like always, a lot of coverage on Deegan, so wasn't able really to pay attention to the rest of the racers out there. But Cameron McAdoo, I mentioned him going down and hurting his shoulder a little bit in qualifying. Obviously, he was in this heat race, and he finished in 9th place, just barely qualifying straight to the main event from the heat race. Almost ended up having to go to the LCQ, and Deegan finishing right in front of him in 8th. Tom Viel was your winner, and Pierce Brown was minus 1.8 seconds behind Viel. And then Cody Shock in 3rd, and then the young Casey Cochran in his 2nd ever pro supercross race, finishing 4th in the very stacked heat race. Obviously, avoid all the carnage, and everything will kind of most of the time work out for you, and you'll be in a good spot when that white flag and checkered flag comes rolling around. So Casey Cochran obviously learning fast, so good to see the young guy out there qualifying or finishing 4th in his heat race and going right on to the main event. So now jumping to the 450 class, Heat 1, Roczen always seems to get good starts in heat races and main events, honestly, lately. And we all know Roczen's got that very quick or very good first 3-4 lap speed. So he grabs the hole shot and he had Justin Cooper right behind him and Adam Ciancerullo also getting a really good start with Hunter Lawrence had a really good start as well. And I can't see who that other rider is. Dean Wilson, I believe that is, who also got a good start. Nope, not Dean Wilson. I'm not sure. I can't tell who that is. But Roczen going through the whoops just makes that should be pretty simple 180 degree left hand turn. It was very slick there. You saw quite a few guys kind of stall it out there. We saw Roczen stall. That's where I was getting to. But I meant slide out there. Roczen just known for his real good throttle control, obviously. Stalls the bike, and he's got to kick it. So he went from first all the way down to fourth. And then we had Adam Ciancerullo taking the lead. And Hunter was all over him. Hunter Lawrence was all over Ciancerullo. Ends up getting by him. And then Sexton had a pretty close call in the whoops, which also, like Levi, could be a little foreshadowing on what happened later in the main events. But Hunter Lawrence on the podium after, obviously we all know, Adam Ciancerullo, one of the fan favorites, one of, I think, just about every other rider, one of their favorites. Nice guy, always seems like he can spin anything in a good way for the most part. But Hunter said he wishes he could have passed anyone besides Ciancerullo for the lead in that heat race, because that would have been real cool to see Ciancerullo get another heat race win. But hey, maybe Ciancerullo is just waiting to pull off the main event win in Salt Lake City and surprise us all. But so Hunter Lawrence grabs the win in 450 heat one with Ciancerullo just over 2 seconds behind him. And then Sexton in third, Justin Cooper fourth, and then your early leader Ken Roczen finishing in fifth place. So that was an exciting race with Kenny getting the good start. Obviously, Ciancerullo getting the good start. Big favorite there. And then Kenny stalling it and losing it from there. So now getting into the Heat 2 for the 450s. Jet Lawrence grabs the hole shot. And, excuse me. Jet Lawrence grabs the hole shot. There's not much posted on there or online about what was going on in that race. But I know Eli Stewart. I was looking at the two names there. Eli Tomac and Malcolm Stewart. There we go. We're battling a little bit. Eli was able to get by him. We had Cooper Webb, who was trying to keep pace with Jet, who just kind of went on. Looked very comfortable, like Jet has looked for most of this season, besides the last couple weeks where he's gotten bad starts. But Jet Lawrence gets the hole shot, gets his good start, looks very comfortable on a very tricky track, which from what everything I've heard was very deceiving. Looked like everywhere had a bunch of grip and tackiness and whatnot, but it was very hard base. Very slick. I saw even in qualifying there were some spots where they were already down to the plywood. So Jet Lawrence, comfortable. James Stewart calls it Jeffertless. Yeah, Jeffertless for effort. Jet making it effortless. Called it Jeffertless last year in outdoors. And that's what he did again in his heat race. finishing ahead of the title rival in Cooper Webb. With, Vince Freeze's back on the track in 7th. Him and Anderson, look at this. 3 guys you don't want to make mad finishing 5th, 6th, and 7th with Jason Anderson, Justin Barcia, and Vince Freeze. I'd like to see them 3 race only each other in an arena cross. I feel like that could be pretty interesting. So, let's try to figure out a way to make that happen. I know Vince did that World Supercross. That's basically an arena cross track. Maybe we can get old Barcia and Anderson out there for one. Maybe see what kind of chaos we can get. Obviously, we're not rooting for injuries here, but we know there's going to be absolute chaos when Freezy's involved. Barcia, we know what he's done in his past. Seems a little bit cleaner now. And then Anderson. Anderson and Barcia got into it. Was it last year? Anderson and Jet got into it earlier this year. So that's just something I'm hoping for. A little arena cross. Anderson, Barcia, Freezy action. But anyway, that'll wrap us up for our heat races in the 450 class. So now it is absolute mayhem and chaos time for this 250 East-West shootout main event. So RJ Hampshire and Jordan Smith both kind of tie to get the whole shot, but I think it was given to RJ Hampshire for the whole shot, and then that is right when everything started to go down here in the 250 main event, where it was right after the first corner, towards the end of that first rhythm lane, we had Levi Kitchen kind of jump a little bit to his left, and we had Cameron McAdoo jump a little bit to his right. They collide in midair, both go down. Levi Kitchen looked like his shoulder, head, neck, collarbone area run over pretty good. And Cameron McAdoo kind of rode it out a little bit to the end of the corner, where then he also went down. Nate Thrasher went down as well. Hayden Deegan was caught up in it for a little bit there. So you had your 2 points leaders in the 250 classes, both the Pro Circuit Cowie guys, they're both down. And then moving forward a little bit, it was 8 minutes, 30 seconds left in the race. Cameron McAdoo decided it was enough with his qualifying crash, and then adding on top of that the main event crash that he just had. He called it a race, but Levi Kitchen did not call it a race. He stayed out there and scrambled all the way up to 14th to kind of really save himself in the championship. While McAdoo went from leading by 4 to now being back 16 in the points championship here. So big drama. That's what I was talking about at the top of the show here. We had that big drama, and that was basically it for McAdoo. Like I said, he pulled off. So he, in the end, he finished 20 seconds still. So, not how Cameron McAdoo wanted this East-West shootout to go, but his night was over. So, Levi Kitchen just got up, and him and McAdoo were probably almost a half lap down, in 21st and 22nd, Levi was able to get up, make some passes, get up to 14th. Like I said, salvage some points at least. Cameron McAdoo wasn't able to salvage any at all. Wasn't able to continue racing after that 8.5 minute mark. So, real bummer for the Pro Circuit team, obviously. There's like rumors of a Pro Circuit curse going around, and I mean, shoot, that right there was pretty much a good enough reason for me to start believing in the curse, because I'm a Detroit Lions fan in the NFL, and so I know curses. That football team was cursed, and I think this dirt bike team might be cursed just as well. So anyway, RJ Hampshire gets a good start, starts off in the lead, and then was just real comfortable, able to just click off his laps. He was riding really smart. Kind of a bit of a change of what we saw from RJ in the past, where seems like either when he is in the lead or when he's in second, third, fourth, or whatever, trying to chase someone down. You know, it seemed like he always had the tendency to kind of push it a little bit too hard and push it over the edge. But he didn't do that here in Nashville. Kept it contained, rode very smart, and rode it off into a win. So we had then Joe Shimoda, who also coming on really strong late in the year, like he did last year at the end of the Super Motocross season as a whole, came on really strong late in the year, coming on real strong here at the end of the Supercross. But championship wise, it's a little too late for Joe Shimoda, I believe, he's technically, mathematically not eliminated, being back 28 points, but realistically, he's eliminated from the championship, even though I thought he was going to win the championship. So, little knock on me, you can blame it on me. Oh, well. But Tom Vial continues his very strong second season here in Monster Energy Supercross with a third place here. And with everything that went on, we can start looking at some points here. Tom Vial gets the red plate back. He had it a couple weeks ago. He gets the red plate back. He's now 13 points ahead of Hayden Deegan, who's now in second. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Cameron McAdoo minus 16 in third place. So, Tom Vial, he's got the experience on leading a championship fight towards the end of the season with his two MX2 world championships over in the MXGP. So he's got experience in leading championships, like I said. So I think he'll be able to close it out, even though I did, once again, I think I'll be wrong again. I think I'll be wrong with all three of my championship predictions, because I don't think Sexton's going back to back. I don't think Joe Shimoda's winning the West, and I don't think Hayden Deegan's gonna come back from currently 13 points down to Tom Vial. So, yeah. So looking up here at the West now, RJ Hampshire is the points leader again. So, The older rider getting a bit of a gift here, but I mean, it's not really a gift. He got his win in his heat race, got his good gate pick, and then got a good start to keep himself out of the carnage that Levi and Cameron found themselves in. So RJ now up by just 2 points over Levi Kitchen, which goes to show how important Levi getting up and riding to a 14th place finish was. So he was able to salvage points going in to Nashville with the points lead, leaving only minus two. If he were to find out that he'd be down in dead last, half a lap back in the second turn of the main event, and then you tell him, hey, you're only down by 2 points leaving Nashville, I think he'd be okay with that, with how the race started. So that's a tough one for Levi. And then Jordan Smith in third place, who is 18 back. So I think this has become a two-rider fight here for your 250 West championship. So it's gonna be very exciting. Obviously, we got one more shootout race between the two classes in Salt Lake City. So the very last race, obviously, both 250 classes will be back on the track together once again. So that will be very, very exciting. So now taking a look here at the 450 main event, Eli Tomac, I think he's figured out them starts. So, because he goes out, he grabs the hole shot, and Jet Poult had an absolutely amazing jump out of the gate, but Eli had the angle. He had the angle of the dangle, and he was able to grab the hole shot. So here we are. Go forward a bit here. And then Ken Roczen also, just like I said in the heat race, really good start up in third and chasing down Jet. Then right after the finish line, Kenny was able to go inside and make the pass on Jet Lawrence to put him into second place. Ken Roczen into second place. And then Ken was chasing down Eli. And then you don't really see it very good on TV, but where are we? Here we are. Jason Anderson took out Hunter Lawrence, so I'd be interested to see if I don't believe there's any penalties handed out, so yeah, there's no penalties, position-wise at least, handed out to Jason Anderson. So it was, like I said, it was just real quick. You could kind of see it in the corner of the TV. I just saw Jason come in hard and kind of take out Hunter Lawrence. So that happens. And then Roczen, like I mentioned, absolutely chasing down Eli. Roczen was all over Eli, and then next thing you know, you see Sexton laying down in the corner right after going across the start straight where they had that little single, and then it could be a double, could be just another single, which I think Chase, in his head, he wanted a single. Go single all the way through, but his bike wanted to double the last one, and he had an absolutely massive air wheelie. And KTM came out and said, well, for one, just little bit of bruises going on with Sexton. He said he will be back and ready to line up in Philadelphia, so that's good to hear. Get that out of the way real quick. But then KTM came out and said a rock hit the throttle body, and that's what caused the like loop out type action to happen. But I did see another video on, I think it was Instagram, where someone was taking a video just with their phone, and they happened to catch Sexton, like, because this person taking the video, they were on the starting gates, and they happened to catch Sexton flying through the air. And the way KTM came out and said, they made it seem like the throttle got stuck, like, open. And so it would have been revving and whatnot. But in this video, you don't really hear his bike while he's in the air doing the air wheelie. When Sexton then lands and then flips into the corner and whatnot, that's when you hear the bike really rev and kind of try and give it some gas. But so interesting situation. You saw Sexton walking off the track on his own, kind of laboring his shoulders a little bit after he went flipping and flying, losing his visor. And then you see his mechanic come over, and it looks like he kind of yelled at his mechanic a little bit. I couldn't really hear what he had to say to him. Obviously, he had his helmet on still. So, but yeah, it's a absolutely insane crash, which was just one of two insane crashes that we had. So how much time was left when that crash happened? Around 16 minutes we saw him. Yeah, around 16 minutes we saw him laying there. And then with 15 minutes left, Webb started to lose contact with Jet Lawrence, who was in third place at the time. Webb lost contact with Jet Lawrence, and he was 3 seconds back, which, once again, Cooper Webb came out and said that he just didn't have it that night, so nothing he could have done. I don't know what happened to him last year about crashing and then getting hit in the back of the head and then that nasty concussion that he had. I don't know if that was, for lack of better words, in the back of his head. But, yeah, Webb didn't have the speed that he has shown the last couple weeks, so he didn't have it for old Jetson. But then Roczen, with 14 minutes left, Eli and Roczen going into the whoops. Most people were doubling, singling, then into the whoops. But Eli Tomac and Ken Roczen found if you go outside in the turn, you can triple and then go into the whoops. So that's what they were doing. And everything was good. Eli did it, I don't know how many laps. And then Roczen did it first in his heat race, is what Eli said. And then in the main event with 14 minutes left, Roczen does it. Looks like he lands fine. And then all of a sudden, steam starts spewing out of his Suzuki. And it turns out his rear shock exploded. So he had oil probably all over the plastics of his bike. So he had no grip going through the whoops. Roczen held on to it for just about, 9 whoops? He held on to it for about 7.5 of them. And then he had to ditch it, went flying over. You saw him kind of jab his knee a little bit. And he posted a picture. I think it was Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or something. He posted a picture, and his left knee looked about double the size. His left foot looked about almost double the size. So I guess he was going to get further evaluations on Monday morning. And so as I'm sitting here Tuesday afternoon, take a look real quick and see if he posted anything, any update on how his doctor office visit went or whatever you want to call it. He did not. And while I'm on here, might as well take a look at Chase Sexton, if I can click on the right name here. Everything else just keeps popping up and flying around here. Chase Sexton posted a picture today, at least, on his story of him riding outdoors and bike pretty muddy. Oh, he dented the exhaust, it looks like. Holy smokes. But so yeah, Chase riding outdoors. Like I said, he already came out and said he'd be able to line up for Philly this next weekend, so knew that was going to be happening. So, but yeah, just now waiting on hopefully an update here from Ken Roczen. Like I said, he came out and said, what is it? His shock only had about 3 hours on it, so wasn't expecting that to happen to him. So that sucks to see. But anyway, Jet was able to catch up to Eli now after Roczen goes down. Jet was able to catch up to him fairly quickly after Roczen went down. And then there was two down riders in the outside of like the second right-hand turn in the sand. You can see in the slow-mo video, Jet with his head up, sees him, starts on the outside and about in the middle of the sand section, moves over to the inside. Eli was stuck on the outside, had to go a little bit slower to not hit them or lose control and whatnot and make it worse for him. Jet was able to go up the inside in the sand and make the pass on Eli Tomac. And then Jet did what Jet always seems to do. So kind of just rode away and won by 9.3 seconds. And where are we here? Yeah, Jet made the pass with about 11 minutes to go. So Eli really had to slow up around the outside of the sand. And with 11 minutes to go, Jet went out there and put almost a second a lap on Eli Tomac. And then Cooper Webb finishing 14.7 seconds back. So Jet now, red plate, all to himself once again. With obviously now a 5-point lead over Cooper Webb. And Chase Sexton drops from third in the championship down to fourth at minus 40. And Eli takes over that third place spot in the championship with being back 33. So it's obviously now going to be a two-person race. So it's kind of funny. Number two, Cooper Webb, is sitting second. Number three, Eli Tomac, is sitting third. And I don't know. Up to Jet Lawrence. Can he handle the pressure? Seems like he can. So, where are we? Here's our guy, 14th. Adam Ciancerullo finishing 14th. So, that's always good to see. But, oh yeah, and big shout out to Josh Hill, who I guess went to the race just because he said Nashville's a cool city. So he decided to go to the race and put that sucker in the main event and finished 20th. The two he did beat were Ken Roczen and Chase Sexton, who did not finish the race. So yeah, I think that's about it here. Hunter Lawrence finishing 7th, so still a really strong rookie campaign by Hunter Lawrence. If his brother wasn't out here leading the points race, I think we'd be talking about how good his season and how good Justin Cooper's seasons have been for rookies on the 450s. But when a rookie's leading the points race, The other two big name rookies aren't really going to get talked about too much, which is a shame, but because they're riding really good, obviously. So now, would say looking at the points lead or the point standings, but we did kind of just do that. So I think there's a pretty good chance that Jet ends up finishing this sucker out and taking the championship. So now a look ahead here to this weekend. I guess it's a day race. So in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, first time they've been in there. I heard Weej on the broadcast saying it's the first time in Philly in 40 years, I think. Don't quote me on that. But weather check, because it is an open stadium. No rain coming, and cloudy, and a high of 66 on Saturday for race day. So now taking a look at the track map. Another, probably 80-yard start straight into a tight 180 left-hand turn. So obviously going to want to get a good jump so you don't get pinched off and whatnot, or forced way outside, which from just looking at the track map here, it looks like there's going to be a good chance of quite a few people getting pushed off the track outside. And then right into a little rhythm lane, which looks like there's going to be lots of options on this track. Pretty long rhythm lane that goes the entire section of the floor with a little curve in the middle a little bit. So that's going to be interesting. And then there's a little, it doesn't look like sand, but it's kind of like what you'd expect to see in sand, like turning sand rollers kind of. But obviously it doesn't look like they're going to be sand, so it's going to be interesting to see how that section plays out right before you go back across the starting line. And then track map shows a long section of whoops, which we all know are going to be cut down to 9, and then a nice 180 left over the finish line, and then another little right-handed turn to hook us back up onto the start line. So it's prediction time. To be honest, I don't remember how I did last week. I feel like I just can't think about it too much. So Jet Lawrence in the 450s, and coming east. Oh man, this is what's gonna make me start to think now. Shoot. I feel like it's gonna be a pretty tricky track. Cameron McAdoo, who knows how healthy he's going to be? Who knows if he's going to be racing? I haven't seen any updates on him. So to be honest, in my head, I'm going between Tom Vielle and Hayden Deegan, which... Tom Vielle. Bingo. Okay. So we got Tom Vielle winning in the 250s and extending his points lead over Hayden Deegan and the rest of the field. And then I think it's going to be a Jet show again in the 450s and extending his points lead over Cooper Webb. So, once again, we'll be keeping an eye out for an update on Ken Roczen because I haven't seen anything quite yet. And then, we'll see how Chase is feeling. See if he does press day and what he says there. So, it's going to be another fun week of racing here for Supercross, coming down to the very ends of it. Ooh, the nitty gritty. So all we gotta do is just keep Vince Freese out of the fray, and I think we should have some pretty darn good racing. So like always, Talking_Moto on X. Give me a follow, share, retweet, repost, whatever it is. And then questions, like always, just send them to me somehow on X and be a DM or like a response to one of my posts, however you feel like doing it. So I will see you guys after Philadelphia next week. See ya. Okay, so actually, episode not over. Right as soon as I jump off here, Ken Roczen goes ahead and posts on Instagram that after further evaluation, he's going to be out for a little bit. I guess he broke his tib Pletua his foot and a toe. So he said there's no surgery that that's required, but still need to find out some more information and get a little bit further evaluation. But he will be done with Supercross in 2024. So real sucks to see. I'm not sure, maybe he'll come out for some outdoors like he did last year, because I know he does the World Supercross, and also who knows what's going on with that. So hopefully he can come out, do some outdoors, make sure he qualifies good for the Super Motocross playoffs that we got going on. And yeah, hopefully he heals up and whatnot. So okay, now that is officially the actual end of this podcast now, after we got our Ken Roczen update of being out for the rest of Supercross. So once again, Talking Underscore Moto on X. Thanks for listening to today. And then, yeah, follow, share, like, everything like that. And I'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.